are listening to the Classic Sermons podcast from PreachTheBible.org, a ministry of North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California. You will hear fervent, old-fashioned revival sermons from great preachers of the past. It is our desire that you will be helped by this gospel message.
Verse 7, be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth. So he brings the farm into this. You're sowing seed, he shall also reap. For he that soweth to the flesh shall the flesh reap corruption. He that soweth to the Spirit shall the Spirit reap life everlasting. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. My dad gave me years ago, I was just a young boy, he gave me about a 20 by maybe 30 piece of property in the back of the house for a garden. And he said, now Jack, what you need to do is I want you to dig this up. Took me several days, but I dug it, I pulled it over and put the shovel on the ground, pulled it over. Well, those are big clogs. He said, now the next thing is you've got to break those clogs down. You got to level your field. And he showed me how to level the field. And then he said, I want you to plant. This is your corn rows here. This is your radishes. This is your cucumbers. This is your all the different types of vegetables I have. And then he said, then you're going to have to go out here and start weeding in the your garden. And then you harvest it. That's what God's word is. He's referring to our Christian life as sowing and reaping. We're all sowing. Every day of our life, we sow and we reap. And today I want you to see that number one, we sow to others. We sow to those, verse one, who are weak. Brethren, he's writing to Christians, brethren. If a man be overtaken in a fault, stop right there. So here, we're church, you're sitting next to him. You're sitting in this room today. We have drug addicts. We have alcoholics. We have, you name the sin, we have it. You're leaving your wife. You're leaving, you're breaking your vow. We have it right here today. God says a man, a Christian brother is overtaken in a fault. There's sin in your life. What do we do with that? Well, we have them stand and we publicly humiliate them. Is that what you do with them? Well, we don't talk to those people. That's not what we do. Amen. I'm so burdened about, we got some men that have fallen back into alcoholism. They're good men. They are good men. I said it last, I don't understand that. I don't understand how a bottle can control you. But I have other sins that control me. It's not a bottle. Ms. Lico, good to see you and your mom here today. It's not a bottle. I don't battle a bottle. But my flesh is so weak. Yeah. Yeah. We all fight a besetting sin.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Everyone here has besetting sins, and they so easily beset us. It's easy for me to sin in this area or this area. It's easy to do that. Don't ever look down on an alcoholic, drug addict.
Preach on.
Ye, if a man be overtaken in a fault, what's the Bible say? Ye that are, what's the next word? Spiritual. You cannot restore and restore such a one. You cannot restore someone if you're not spiritual. So I'm always amazed. We have this great pastor's conference. Letters, notes, cards coming from around the country. Every message was on my doorstep. And then you get these puny little fellas that go online and analyze it. And they criticize. You know what that is? That's not spiritual. No man, a real man. Brazilians, I'm glad you're here today. The message is being interpreted to them as I'm speaking. No man would ever get on the internet and trash anybody else. What's that about?
Well, I'm offended with him. Don't, come on, be a man.
And no lady, a godly lady, will not get on the internet and gossip and criticize and attack. Like, you know, this church doesn't believe like us. I'm going to leave them alone. That pastor has to answer for it. I'm going to tell you what kind of church we are.
We're an old-fashioned, independent, fundamental, temperamental Baptist church. That's what we are. You don't have to be that. But don't trash us for being that. And God says, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye that are spiritual. I need to watch in that verse, I need to watch Jack Treiber. I don't need to look at the drug addict, the alcohol. I need to look at my life. Am I spiritual? Can I forgive this one? Can I help this one? Can I encourage this one? Can I mentor? Can I spend time with this one? That's what my job is. I love my job. I love it. I love pastoring this church. For 50 years, God's blessed my wife and I that we've been here. I love every minute. I'm trying to hold on to every day I get to pastor you. I love the people of this church. And when I see you going off astray, someone asked me this week. A preacher called me and said, how do you handle that? Do you go and approach them? No, I don't normally approach you. But I'll love you and I'll help you and I'll say, let's have coffee together. And I'll have them talk to me. Or let's get together in my office. Or let's get together off the property. Let's talk about this. How can I help you? Don't you have a burden for... I look at these kids, your teenagers here, bus kids up here. I'm so thankful you're here today. God bless you and our kids that are here. You know, every kid is going to have some hard time during high school. I don't want them to. I don't think it's necessary, but they will. And they're going to battle some things. They don't need a school teacher. They don't need a principal. They don't have a school teacher or a principal like this. That would say, hey, you're a heathen. No, they don't have that. Yeah. Amen. They'll have a principal or his wife or a school teacher lovingly speak to them.
Amen.
How can I help you? And most of the time the kids will say, I'm not spiritual. Well, that's a start. Ye that are spiritual. And then the key word is restore. God is in the restoring business. God wants every single child of God. There are more people sitting outside of this church today that one time were members and they quit church because of the pastor or the people or the songs or whatever. Or they quit on God and they're just outside of church. We don't need to attack those people. We don't need to criticize those people. We don't need to hurt those people. Ye that are spiritual. Spiritual people read their Bible every day. Spiritual people pray every day. Spiritual people pray. Here is John, and John's an alcoholic. And God, I'm praying for John today. Beseech the throne of grace. He needs a prayer warrior. And that's why God's raised you up. The Bible says in sowing and reaping, you always want to sow to the weak. You know, there's so many areas of my Christian life. I'm strong. I'm very strong. I'm strong in Bible reading, and I think I'm strong in prayer. I'm strong in faith. I believe God can do anything. But over here, I'm not very strong. Over here, I'm weak. And I need God's people to pray for a weak pastor. I'm not talking about disqualifying myself from being a pastor. I'm talking about the fact that everybody in life has weaknesses. Where's your weakness? What is it spiritually that you're weak in today? If you're weak in reading the Bible, then get someone that's powerful in reading the Bible. Say, help me with this. If you're weak in your prayer life, have someone work with you with your prayer life. If you're weak in soul winning, help someone show you, teach you how to go soul winning. And when the lost to Jesus Christ, hey, are you weak in saying, I'm sorry? Are you weak in your pride raises up its ugly head? God said, if you're spiritual, restore such a one. Amen. Secondly, he says this, do you see it? Let's read verse 1. Read it. Ready? Begin. Brethren. If you're not strong, you can't help somebody. Or you're going to be tempted to do the same thing. Next thing you know, you're an alcoholic. God says, be strong. The second thing he says, I want you to sow
with these with their burdens. These that are burdened. Verse 2, read it together. Ready? Begin.
Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ.
This is not a person who is backslidden like verse 1. This is not a person who's been overtaken in a fault. This is a person who's burdened. Are you weary? Yeah. Are you heavy hearted? Are you weary today? I'm amazed on Sunday. My job is to encourage you to keep on keeping on our theme this year.
Amen.
You know, there are so many people that are burdened. They're burdened with the load of cares of this world. We got people in this church that are burdened. They're looking for a job. They got laid off after 17 years at a company, laid off. After many years at a company, laid off. I've got some people that are carrying heavy burdens. Burdens financially, burdens with their job. I've got folks every week that hear from the doctor about some life-threatening disease that's entered into your body. I think of the folks this week, I've talked to several this week, that cancer, the doctor said, you got cancer. Just this week. A godly staff member, a godly pastor's wife, a godly church, that just this week said, you got cancer. That's a burden.
Yes. Yes.
That's looking death in the eye. And all of a sudden you say, I've got cancer. That's an awful word we never want. No one ever wants to hear that word.
Amen.
I have people that have MS or they have, what is that when you give the shot? Insulin problems and diabetics. That's diabetics. These guys are stupid as I am. They don't know anything either. But my mother would wash my mouth out with soap. She heard it. I said that word stupid. I'm sorry. But you know, I hear it all the time. Are you burdened with your health? There are scores of you in this room. You're burdened with your marriage. You're sitting next to a lady and you're not getting along with her, are you? You're sitting next to a man, you're not getting along with them. And we think we all know the problem. Well, I know the problem. Women don't think like men. That's, you know, the problem is me. I've had to far many more times in our marriage say, I'm so sorry, than she's had to. My wife doesn't have to tell me I'm sorry for anything. But through the years, and not so much in these many years we've been married now, but through the years I've had to come so many times and say, I'm sorry, Cindy. How about your marriage? You know, it's hard to believe. We've never thought about divorce. We've never talked about it for 53 years. We've been married. We've had a good marriage. But can I tell you something? There's been conflict. There's been days when I did not so much now in the last, got rid of all those kids out of our house, you know. But not so much in the last 10 or 15 years. But I can tell you, there were days, that first year of marriage, Jeremy, I didn't think we were going to make it. I just didn't think we were going to make it. I thought she was raised in a preacher's home. I was raised in a godly deacon's home. But she doesn't obey me. That's the problem. She just doesn't obey me. Well, I was looking for her to fulfill some responsibility that, yes, she's supposed to obey. But I'm supposed to love her too. I had to learn that. She didn't have to. I had to learn that. I've told you this many times. She said, you think you got a jumper, like you speak and I'm supposed to jump. You didn't marry a jumper. That went over big. I got upset. Hey, you know something? Your wife's not just supposed to jump at your every little wish and whim.
Amen.
It's not her job. It's my job to love her. That's my job. And love covers a multitude of sin. And love is always a... Here is a definition. Love is a commitment to meet needs.
Amen.
Whatever need that lady has, that's my challenge in life. I need to meet that need so no other Ralph can meet that need. I want to meet that need. I want to care for that lady. Sir, you could fall back in love with your wife if you just stop the pride. If you stop the arrogance, if you stop that, well, I'm not happy. What happiness have to do with a good marriage? Nothing. I told you years ago, I haven't said this in years, sweet lady was moving back to her home country. And she said, I got married to my husband, I think it was 40 some years ago, 45 years ago. And she said, Pastor, and he admitted it, even on our honeymoon, there was not one intimate night ever in 45 years, not one. And I've loved him, and I've been good to him, and I've cooked for him, and I did his laundry, and I never fought with him. But she said, I'm tired of it. I can't believe that 40, 45 years she lived under that. That's an abusive husband. That's a rude husband. That's a self-made. Maybe you're the wife and you're just so self-made. God says everybody has burdens. Some have financial burdens, and maybe you can meet those financial. Some have health needs burdens today, and you can meet those health needs today. Some have academic needs, and they're trying to figure. Some are trying to figure out, is this the will of God that I stay in Bible college and train for God's work? Is this the will of God? Care for people's burdens.
Amen.
God's word says, I'm to sow for those that are in sin. I'm to sow another's burdens. By the way, thirdly, I'm to sow in the Spirit. Look at verse number 8. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of his flesh reap corruption. Stop right there. You pornography lovers. And I'm not speaking to men right now. The fastest growing group of pornography lovers is women right now. You pornography lovers, the only hope you have is God.
Amen.
You sow to your flesh, you will reap to your flesh. All that's in this world, the lust of the flesh, you don't want the flesh. I guarantee it, there's a whole crowd. Yes, we've got alcoholics in here this morning. Yes, we have drug addicts in here this morning. But we also have pornography lovers, and that's many of you. We're told that one out of every three adult women have been molested in their childhood. One out of every three. One, two, three. One, two, three. One, two, three. You talk about a pastor's job. Hey, fellas, you want the ministry, but you're going to be heavy down with this thing called incest and molestation. And that's just nothing but pride itself. Taking from a little girl or a little boy their purity, their holiness, their godliness, and you violate them for yourself. God's word says, you sow to the flesh, you'll reap to the flesh. I'm just so weary of hearing this couple come into my office and him saying, well, I've been with this other woman, or I've been in pornography, or she says the same, I've been with this man, or I've been in pornography. What? Stop that stuff.
Amen.
That's sowing to the flesh.
Amen.
And the flesh always brings corruption.
Amen.
Doesn't bring righteousness. Righteousness exalteth a nation.
Amen.
America is such a wicked nation. Today I'm just so burned for her.
Amen.
Can't run for office unless you believe that you ought to kill babies. Abortion. That's sin. Should have been a heavy amen on that. That is sin.
Amen.
Abortion is sin.
Amen.
Taking the life of a child, taking the life. When you go up there with scissors and cut the arms off and cut the legs out, and then you suction them out with a vacuum cleaner, that is sin.
Amen.
Sodomy is sin.
Amen.
Lesbianism, sin.
Amen.
Transgender, that's sin.
Amen.
Euthanasia, that's sin.
Amen.
We're going to go on and on and on. Rejection of Jesus Christ, humanism, that's sin. God says you sow
to the flesh, you'll reap the flesh. But look what the Bible says. He that soweth to the Spirit shall reap life everlasting. You know, I can remember those days with my garden, and I'd grow corn. I love corn. And here's a stalk of corn right here. You know, I'd grow this corn, and it was great. Let me open this. You know, you plant a seed. Isn't it amazing? You plant a seed, and a stalk comes up. On that stalk is generally three of these right here. Three of these. Look at that. Get it all cleaned off. Let me count. 1, 2, 3, 4. That's fine. 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20. 20 seeds. 20 from one seed. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28, 29, 30, 31. Let's go 30. 30 times 20 is what?
600.
You know what, in sowing and reaping, you always reap more than you sow.
Amen.
I can remember, I don't know why my dad told me this. You dig a hole and you put three seeds in a hole. Why would you put three seeds? Maybe that was just his old German way of doing it, because only one seed's gonna germinate, but it grows. And pretty soon you see a little blade of green coming out. It doesn't take long. You keep water on and just a little blade. And then that blade grows, and overnight it becomes 6 foot tall, 5 foot tall, 6 foot tall. And there's three of these from that one little seed. 600 times three, 1,800 seeds. Can I tell you something about sowing and reaping? Miss Treber and I are reaping. We're reaping like we have never reaped before. We're reaping a great church.
Amen.
Not a good church, a great church. I've been every day spending time with God, just praising God for who God's people are. I imagine we have problems here, but I can't think of anybody that's trying to get rid of me. A large church, maybe you'll raise up your head in time, and maybe we'll get some traction. But maybe you will fire me one day. I mentioned I need 50 people to give $1,000 for pastors' conference. People give it. I said I need a record number. Last week we got a record number for President's Club. And I know everybody doesn't have money. I know you all can't do that. I mentioned the Christian school. We need money for the Christian. I mentioned the college. I mentioned the bus ministry. I mentioned worldwide missions, and people just are invested in this work. I mentioned Saturday night men's prayer, and the place is packed. Men are coming to prayer. Saturday morning, they're out souling, knocking on doors, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people. What a great church. Because I tell you, Miss Treber and I are reaping that little seed we planted 50 years ago. We didn't have a building. We didn't have songbooks. We had nothing. And we started getting those songbooks set on the front cover. We always had put tape on. If they were green, we put green tape. Red, we put red. It said Calvary Baptist Church or First Baptist Church. Had those. And then we had an organ over here. Broke every service. Sunday afternoon, we tried to fix it. We finally threw it away. We had a piano over here. My wife would play it. And then she'd run out to a little trailer. And she taught junior church. And she'd run back for the invitation. Someone babysit those kids. Hey, I want to tell you something. We're reaping more than we sold.
Amen.
I tell you that we're reaping a whole heap of good things, the blessings of God.
Amen.
So what are you going to do? Well, verse number 9 tells you. Verse 9 says, let us not be weary.
Yes.
That's where some of you are today. You're worn out. That's why as a pastor, I've got to be careful. I know we've got this
this big Easter weekend. I know it's going to be so busy, but I've got to be careful Sunday night not to preach. I want to preach, but I can't preach a long message. God's people are going to be tired. God's people are going to need to go home and rest, and the next day there's no school. They're going to sleep in. You're sheep. I've got to guard you. I can't overrun you. I can't overpush you. I can't shove you. God says, don't be weary. Look what the Bible says. We'll wind it up. Let us not be weary. Are you weary today? You're spiritless. You're exhausted. I think of Brother Eliud leads this choir. We've never had the choir like it is today. And you love it, and you're doing such a good job. But over these 10, 12 years, what have you done? Have you ever been spiritless? You're weary? Sure you have been. Brother Galvan played the piano today. That offertory was beautiful. Maybe you're better now, but he has vertigo today. It's amazing. I wish I could play like that with vertigo. Maybe you're weary. Maybe you're the pastor of the church. I'm not weary. One thing, I'm not weary. I'm trying to hold on to every day right now. I'm not weary, but I have been weary. I've told you this before. I'll just break it brief. I remember we moved in this auditorium August the 20th, 2006, so 20 years ago. And then I got scared. And for a year I fought, I'm not the pastor, I should resign. It's too big of an auditorium, nobody up in the balcony, very few down below. I got so afraid. I preached with the touch of God, I think God was on me, but I was afraid. I was weary. We had built this building, we'd been raising money, and I was worn out. Spiritually, physically, mentally, worn out. God says, you can't stay in, please hear me, you can't stay in that state where you're worn out. Why? Because what's the Bible say? Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap. What's that last four words? Ready? If we
faint not.
Fainting is always the result of weariness. I think of so many people that have been here and they quit on God, they quit church. I don't fault them for that. I always fault myself. I've seen bus workers get out of the bus ministry and then get out of church. I fault myself. I overpushed them. I think they're worn out. I think they're weary. And if you don't get, listen, you don't get victory over weariness, you're going to faint. And you'll not finish your course. I tell you what, child of God, I hope I get to live a long time. But I'm too close now, my heavenly home. I've lived a long life, pastored a great church for a long time. That's why I'm trying to hold on to every day. I love it. I love what I do more today than ever before. I don't want to be weary. Lawsuits come. I'm not going to get weary with those lawsuits. Financial problems come. I'm not going to be weary with those financial problems. I happen to know that we've had financial problems our whole life, but for somehow God gets to December 31st with every bill paid. He's done it 50 years. I think he'll keep on doing it.
Amen.
I'm not going to be weary. My wife's so sweet to me. She said, honey, you've got to slow down. I can't slow down. And she knows that. I can't slow down. I got to keep pressing on.
Amen.
Because one day soon, I'm going to go see the King of Kings.
Yeah.
I don't want to go on a weary day. But wait, I don't want to go on a weary day. I want to go that I'm in the fight.
Amen.
Amen.
You're going to sow. you always reap. Sow to those that are unspiritual, but you're spiritual. Sow to those that have burdens. Sow in the Spirit of God. Father, I want to thank you for this great, great church. I love these people so very much. Lord, I pray that your hand of blessing would be powerfully upon our church these days. I pray that we would know that you're speaking to our hearts. God, you're speaking to me today. I don't want to faint, so I've got to keep myself from weariness. Are you weary? Are you heavy-hearted? Tell it to Jesus. I pray your blessing on this invitation. God, save the unsaved.
Thank you for listening to the Classic Sermons podcast from PreachTheBible.org, a ministry of North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California. To listen to many more powerful sermons, visit our website, PreachTheBible.org. If you enjoy Christian music and programming, visit KNVBC.com for Christian music you can trust.